Hi, this is Pastor Jack Gibbs of Real Radio, and I want to give you another reason to vote, and that is to defend the Constitution. Did you know that the freedoms you enjoy, it doesn't matter if you're a libertarian, independent, Democrat, Republican, nothing. Did you know that when you were born or you immigrated to this country, that you were given certain unalienable rights that the Constitution identifies as being a gift given to us from God? The Constitution defends you and your personal liberties, both personal, what you can speak, and private ownership, the Constitution. That document is the envy of the world. One party wants to change it, and one party wants to preserve it. I'm encouraging you in this election to vote Republican. That party stands for the Constitution, and to vote for President Donald J. Trump. He has shown us that he reveres the Constitution. So join me, because it's time to pray, vote, and stand.
Today on Real Radio.
Woman, in your marriage of this unbelieving man, God is on your side. God is for you. God wants you and him in heaven forever. And God is absolutely committed to your witness. And the Holy Spirit's power will show him an undeniable quality of character in your life.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage, Part 2. The Apostle Peter was, of course, a disciple of Jesus Christ, who later on became the leader of the first church. His message of encouragement, hope, and practical Christian living transcends through the ages. So here's a good question. How can we live holy lives and have godly influence while submitting to human authority? In part 1 of chapter 3, we learned that God designed marriage in a way that sets the example of Jesus and his love relationship with his church. The believing wife is an awesome witness of the gospel message. The behavior of a Christian wife can silence the arguments of an unbelieving husband. She can even move his heart towards Christ with her love and devotion. So today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack goes on to say that the women of the Bible had a powerful and guiding influence on the hearts of men. A wife's testimony and dedication towards her husband can make all the difference as to whether or not he chooses to follow Christ. And now in his message called When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We're looking at this, that God often begins with just one of you in the marriage to save, and he does this with an undeniable quality of the wife. Will you write that down? There is an undeniable quality that God uses in the life of the born-again wife, the wife that loves Jesus, following God. There's something going on. And the most important thing about this, if you're taking notes, is how does God do this? What is this undeniable quality that now happens in the Christian life before an unbelieving husband? Mark it down. It's character. Character. Listen, who you are on the inside matters. Can somebody trust you with their wallet? Can somebody trust you with their key to the house? Can somebody trust you with money? Can somebody trust you with their family? Can somebody trust you with their husband or with their wife? That's character. How does the Christian wife who's married to an unbeliever point him to Jesus? The Bible says character. There's this overriding, undeniable quality in a Christian wife that God says is character. And with that, there's a sense of that witness being irresistible to the man. Meaning this, it doesn't mean that if you're faithful, miss or ma'am, that your husband's going to automatically come to Christ, but it means if he comes to Christ or if he denies Christ, you are the tool by which he makes that decision. And that's very powerful. You say, well, Pastor, how would I ever do such a thing? How can I lead my husband to Christ? Understand this right now. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is a vitamin B shot to your faith. It says, therefore, that's you, young lady, ma'am, miss. If anyone is in Christ, he, she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are a new creation. In that marriage, You may have a history with that husband of yours, but now you're a believer in Christ and you're living for Jesus. And the Bible says here in verse 1 that you can win him to Christ without a word. That's character. You don't need to preach to him. You don't need to hound him. The Bible here tells you, live it. And God will anoint that witness of yours in a very special way. I know it feels horrible to you. I know it seems like your husband's never going to come around or come back to the Lord, whatever it might be. Don't give up. Don't stop. You are the greatest factor in winning your husband to Christ. It doesn't matter. He can hear it from Billy Graham himself. God can show him some manifestation in the sky. According to the Bible, you are the greatest tool for this home evangelism mission field that you're living in. God will give you special grace. God will give you special influence. But understand this, God is for the healing of your marriage. He's for the salvation of your husband. And God's all behind your mission field and your work. Benjamin Franklin said something to the effect, it's a great line. He says, before you get married, you need to have have both eyes wide open. Is that not true? And then the next part of that quote says, after you get married, keep one eye shut. He got a lot of heat for that, but what he meant was this: be very smart and be very wise about getting into marriage. But once you're into marriage, you need to be very gracious, very tender, and very kind, and not critical, and not complaining. Love covers a multitude of sin, the Bible says. You see, well, Pastor, I want my husband in heaven with me. Not like he is now, but I want my husband to come to Christ. Listen, God wants your husband to come to Christ more than you do. And he's working on him. He is working on him. By the way, you know, listen, one of the ways you can tell, see, my husband, he just won't listen, and nothing's happening. And then 3 weeks later, you stop in the foyer and you say, it's getting worse. So what are you clapping for? If it's getting worse, that means he's getting close. So what do you mean? Okay, look, if he didn't care, it wouldn't get worse. But listen, it's true, by the way, in all of our lives. If you're witnessing to somebody and they start to push back, this is a good thing. That's why you and I are supposed to have an answer for what people ask us. If they really start getting interest in your witness, they start poking. Listen, the husband will punch those faithful buttons that he used to punch when he could set you off. And he might be thinking this, listen, I'm going to let you into the secret of a man's mind. Well, she has hung in there with me, this Jesus stuff. It's driving me nuts. She's not going to stop going to church, I'm sure of that. She even went to a retreat. And maybe there's something to this. Okay, ladies, hang on to your hats. Maybe there's something to this. How am I going to know? Oh, I know. If I can set her off, then it must not work. So he starts poking those familiar buttons, and you don't cuss them out. You don't throw a rock at them. You don't punch them. You don't do the old stuff you used to do. You're different now. Now he's really upset because you're claiming how great your God is. And you're showing proof of how great your God is. And now he's confronted with a dilemma. I'm either going to have to come to believe in this God who is undeniably real. But if I can prove him to be unreal, then I'm off the hook. So he reaches back in his bag of tricks and pulls out the bomb. And he drops it on you. And let's say it gets you. Wife, it gets you. You explode and you tell him up one side, down the other. And he's like this. So much for your Christianity, huh? Where's your Jesus and all of that? You know what? It's power. Because something happens this time. She says, you know what? You're right. You're 100% right. You recognize the old me, because that was the old me. And now, you know what? I've been confronted with the old me also. Sweetheart, will you please forgive me? Will you just forgive me what I just said to you? I went back and I grabbed old junk that's a bad, nasty habit, and I threw it in your face, and I'm asking you to forgive me. Do you know he may be loaded for bear at that moment to go to war with you? And the Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And even in your fall back to the old woman that you once were, the old lady, the old man, the old sinful nature, I'm not insulting you, I'm using your old spiritual past. And you come back and you say, you're right, that was very wrong of me. Please forgive me. Did you know that you just robbed him from any supposed victory he thought he had? Don't be surprised. The sorry for the explosion or the tirade can lead him to Christ. Never underestimate that. Woman, in your marriage of this unbelieving man, God is on your side. God is for you. God wants you and him in heaven forever. And God is absolutely committed to your witness. And the Holy Spirit's power will show him an undeniable quality of character in your life. So I'm going to let you in on another secret. Men, tune out. This is just for the ladies. What do men need? You know, if I said, give me five things that men need, you might miss it completely. Somebody might say, in fact, help me out. Somebody might say what? Number one? Sex. What's, I don't know what's going on over there, but they all said sex over there. We need to keep an eye, ushers. What's that? Sex over here. This guy shouted out. He didn't have breakfast, apparently. He said, food! Okay, but you guys are doing perfect right now. You're doing great. Sex, food, money. Oh, now you know. Hang on. No to those things. No to those things so far. No to those things. No, listen. You have an unbelieving man that you're married to. He doesn't even know these things, by the way. So write these down. He doesn't even know this about himself. So this is what's fun. You can say, I know something about you. Tell him, when you go home today, say, I know I found out something about you. If he says, I didn't mean it, I didn't do it. You should probably have your phone going when you do it. You say this, I know something about you. You want me to honor you. He doesn't even know that. A man must feel honored. How do you win an unbelieving man to Christ? When the woman begins to treat the unbelieving man just like she would treat Jesus if he was living in the house. You say, Jack, this goes against every feeling in my bones. I know, but listen, you're a Christian woman. I understand that. But you're a Christian woman. Say, I don't even like him. I know that. But you love Jesus, don't you? Of course. Then here's what you're going to do. You're going to just cast a big, big hunk of love toward Jesus, but it's going to hit your husband in the face. So honor. Now, ladies, listen, you need to ask God. Because if this is repulsive to you, just know this. If it's repulsive to you, it doesn't mean that God has given up in your marriage. God is saying to you today, because this is not an accident, this service. God is saying, will you pray for me to open your eyes to how you can honor him? A man is hungry for honor. That's why in the workplace, Susie in the next cubicle over will say, you know, you're just such a great boss to work for. He starts thinking, wow, wow. Now that's flattery and that's a sin. But he could be so starving for honor, he'll start to, like a bass, begin to nibble on that hook. A man wants to be honored. Ask God how to honor your husband. Number two, a man wants to know that he's preferred over other men. Did you know that all men in this room, if he loves you, watches your eyes when you don't even know he's watching? Did you know that a man has got this God-built thing inside that he wants his woman to be his woman? He wants to be preferred. A man who's insecure, a man who feels somehow not preferred, is a man, if he's not a Christian, will often act like a non-Christian. So you ask Jesus, Lord, help me to show him, and Lord, help me to prefer him, to let him know above all men in the world, I'm for him. A man, number three, wants to be noticed by his wife, wants to be noticed. What does that mean? Just not big obvious things, but simple things, noticed. Things like, if he smells good, tell him. If he looks good that day, say something. We'll say, but Jack, I'm a Christian. He's not a Christian. If I say he looks handsome, then he's going to go out of the house and he's going to think he's handsome. Tell him, you look really nice today. I just want you to know that. Let me tell you something. God will use that. God will use that. You're anointed, wife. You're anointed. The power of heaven is behind you. God is for you on this. And then also this, belief. A man wants to be believed in. I believe in you. And I'm just not like, I believe you can do it. You can do it. No, I'm not talking about that. But, you know, a man, there's programs, there's sitcoms about this. Where a man, I'll fix it. The gate's broke, I'll fix it. And she rolls her eyes, oh no. Listen, tell him, hey honey, the gate's broke. I just thought I'd point that out to you. I know you can fix it. Look, he might go out there and wind up inadvertently burning the thing down. Just tell him, hey honey, the gate's broken. Can you go fix that? That sends a message to him. Don't say to him, oh, you know, get out of the way. You can't do that. Don't say that. Even if he can't, don't say it. Let him find out himself. But don't be the one to say it. When you start treating them kind, listen, it's hard to resist kind for too long. God will show this of your man. Either he'll become a believer, because every time you reach out, he's meeting Jesus in you, or he'll leave you. You owe your witness to Jesus, bar none. With me? You're a Christian, you live for God. If he says, I'm out of here, then just let him know this. He just walked out on the greatest woman that he'll ever meet. Remember last week we talked about cute and handsome and beautiful? You might think, well, you know, he walked out on me and he went after this, you know, hot new version. Won't last. Never does. If your husband, by the way, it goes both ways. If your wife wants to leave you, just let her know she's leaving the best man she'll ever find. Treat one another like you would treat Jesus in your house. And God will honor that powerfully. And I want to encourage you with this. The final thing is respect. The greatest way to win a man's heart over all things is for a man to believe that his wife respects him. I've mentioned it before, I'll say it again. That's why the commercials, movies, programs, television, sitcoms degrade and make imbecilic the presence of men. They're a bumbling bunch of idiots, and women don't need them. That is all designed to undermine a man's hunger and desire to be respected. Isn't it interesting? The Bible never says exactly really for the wife to love her husband. The Bible says for a wife to respect her husband, because a man believes this: if you respect me, it must mean you love me. And those are steps to winning your husband to Christ. God has used great godly women of the past to be our encouragement, ladies. Zipporah, remember Zipporah, the wife of Moses? Did you know, we don't often think about this. What do you think of Moses? Pretty amazing guy, right? I mean, I saw God, talk to God face to face. Moses led Israel out of Egypt. Moses sits in the Supreme Court every day there on the wall. Moses, you know who saved his life? Kept him from getting killed by God? God was going to kill him. Did you know that? God was going to say, get out of my way. I'm going to kill Moses right now for disobeying me. And Zipporah steps in the middle and she intercedes and she saves Moses' life. And Moses says to her, you sacrificed to save my life. A woman of character. Deborah, one of my all-time favorite women in the world. Deborah. Deborah's amazing. Read Judges chapter 4 and 5. Oh my goodness. This church, by the way, has got a bunch of Deborahs in it. Deborah was like this. She was a judge in Israel. Brilliant. She's judging the nation. She's very smart. Full of the Holy Spirit. Wisdom. And Barak, God says, Barak, take the forces of Israel. Get out there and fight. I'm going to give you the victory. And Barak, he's all scared. And he talks to all the guys. Oh, man, we can't do that. We're going to lose. What are we going to do? Let's go talk to Deborah. They go over to Deborah and they say, we're not going to go to war unless you go out in front. I mean, put the woman out front. We'll just get behind you. She said, I'll do whatever God tells me to do. I mean, God did said we're going to win. But you guys, okay, let's get, you can see her strapping on her sword. She's getting her saddle on her horse. All right. Okay, but you guys need to know something. After this is all over and we just smashed the enemy to pieces, everyone's going to say, a woman did it. She goes, can you guys live with that? And they said, yes, we can. Fine, thank you. Just go. And she's history today. Amen. Deborah had a major role in the influence of Joan of Arc, if you know anything about her life. What about Manoah? We don't know Manoah's wife's name. Mrs. Manoah. She was amazing. Manoah was shown a revelation of God, and Manoah ran to his wife and said, look, I just saw God, and he's going to kill us. She goes, did he tell you he's going to kill you? No, he just showed himself to us. She goes, well, if he was going to kill us, we would all have been dead by now. I think God wants to speak to us. And she calmed down Manoah and found out what God's will was in vision. Ruth, the great, wonderful woman who's in the genealogy of none other than Jesus himself, Ruth, a Moabitess, a Gentile, tremendous woman of God, where Boaz is speaking to her, because you know the story, Boaz, he's really rich, and Ruth is real cute, but she's poor as dust, and he's just watching her, he's just, oh my goodness, she's amazing, and she says, I think the Lord wants to provide a man for you who will protect you and provide for you. And she's so awesome. She just goes, I think the Lord wants you to be the one to provide and protect me. And the rest is history. One of the greatest love stories of all time. Hannah, Abigail, Esther, great women of God. The Bible says that even if some do not obey the word, the unbelieving husband, that without a word, they might be won by the conduct of the wife. The conduct means the very lifestyle, the manner of how you speak. Listen, how you speak, how you conduct yourself now as a Christian, what you wear, the things that you do, the things that you do not do. It's an awesome testimony to God that will change a man's heart no matter how cold he is and no matter how hard he is. But you say, Jack, I've been doing this for 35 years. I've been waiting for my bonehead husband to come around. Maybe this is the year. You know what? Maybe this is, what are you going to do? God says, you don't need to go to Peru. You don't need to go to Haiti. You don't have to take a missions trip to Los Angeles. He's right in your house. He's right there. Will you make him the ministry focus of the rest of your life? You're married. God wants him in heaven. I tell you what, it works.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. And you know, we can change the world around us simply by living differently within our marriages. When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage, Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, we have more books on marriage and relationships in this world than ever before. But the divorce rate, well, it continues to soar. Pride and self-centeredness has altered God's order and purpose of marriage. But God's Word also has the solution. That's the truth. And it's why we're offering a DVD set right now on 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It's called When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage. Now, this four-part message is for a gift of any amount and provides a guideline for both spouses on how to be an effective and godly influence in each other's lives. You'll find it right there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.